to the human race. Some kind of love and right. I'll be sliding down, I'll be gliding down. Try not to try too hard. It's just a lovely ride.
You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Sign up for Jay's newsletter, Jay Taylor's Gold, Energy, and Tech Stocks at www.miningstocks.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor. As noted in our prior segment this week, our focus is on energy. In just a few minutes, we will be talking with Matt Simmons. He's the author of Twilight in the Desert. And then later, we're going to be talking to Paul Wiebe, another energy expert and consultant to the industry. Because the main topic this week is energy, I thought it appropriate to interview a couple of energy companies on this show, companies that, in fact, are recommendations in my newsletter. I'm talking, so with me now I have Amir Adnami. He's the president of Uranium Energy Corporation. Uranium Energy Corporation is traded on the American Exchange under the symbol UEC. It has 60 million shares outstanding at this point in time. The stock has recently sold in the 310 to 315 range, and that's important because it means that if many, if not most, of the company's warrants and options are exercised, the company would bring in an additional $25 million into its coffers. I should also mention that the company is well-financed. At the moment, it has over $26 million on its balance sheet, so it is well-financed to become one of a handful of uranium producers in the United States. And very possibly, from what I understand, Uranium Energy could actually double or close to double the existing production in the United States, so that is uranium production. So welcome, Amir, to Turning Hard Times into Good Times.
Hi, Jay. It's great to be here.
Well, good to have you here. You're focused primarily in Texas. Why Texas?
Two reasons, Jay. If you're looking for uranium, you want to go where there's a history of uranium, there's documented and sort of rich areas that you can develop. And South Texas has one of the top uranium belts in this country. It was developed about 30 years ago. And every single major oil and gas company that used to be in the uranium business in the 60s and 70s and 80s used to be active in South Texas.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, you need to have favorable policies and favorable permitting regimes to be able to get uranium projects licensed for production. And Texas truly is the energy capital of the U.S. and as such really has developed favorable policies that allow industry development in Texas where, for example, in Texas today, for uranium mining, all the permits required to start production are issued at the state level only. If you're in any other state, you have to permit with both state regulators and the federal authorities, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. In Texas, the federal authorities have basically delegated the task of oversight of the industry to the state. And so you have fast-track permitting, which is a significant advantage in the uranium business because the uranium business is heavily regulated, and there's a lot of permitting requirements to complete. So you have sort of the perfect 1-2 punch, or you can say the sweet spot in Texas, where the permitting regime is the most favorable in the country. And second, there's a real long and rich history of uranium mining conducted by the majors. In the last uranium cycle, those majors all got out of the business, and today you've got this very active uranium belt and a situation that our company has tried to capitalize on and consolidate so that we can be the dominant Texas uranium company.
All right. Well, Amir, I want to get to what are the economic prospects, the prospects of earning money, and what that might mean for your share price moving forward. But before we get to that, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the supply and demand for uranium. If you could talk just a little bit about U.S. supply of uranium and how much do we consume, and then perhaps give a bigger picture, global picture of of the supply and demand for uranium and what that might mean for uranium prices and ultimately what it might mean for the prospects of Uranium Energy Corporation.
Sure. I mean, there's no doubt that I think you have to look at the nuclear industry from two perspectives. You have to look at where the growth is going to come from in terms of the expansion of the world's nuclear capacity. And the expansion is definitely going to come primarily from the emerging economies, the powerhouses of China and India and Brazil. Those are the areas where you're going to see the next sort of phase of nuclear build-out over the next 20 years. And that's the factor that's going to basically double demand for uranium over the next 20 years. But you also have to look at the U.S. The U.S. today is the largest consumer of uranium in the world, by far, because there are currently 104 nuclear reactors operating in the U.S. You see, China wants to build 100 reactors over the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the U.S. currently has a fleet of 104 nuclear reactors that are currently operating and are currently generating 20% of U.S. electricity, domestic electricity generation. 20%. Okay. So in order to be able to generate that 20% of electricity, these 104 nuclear reactors must consume on an annual basis roughly 55 million pounds of uranium. 55 million pounds. Yet domestic production of uranium is a tiny little 3.5 or maybe 4. Just call it 4. I mean, you get the point. 4 million pounds of domestic production versus 55 million pounds of annual consumption. And this isn't what we're going to build over the next 20 years. This is current requirement.
So the U.S. is building less than 10%, is producing less than 10% of our uranium production every year.
Exactly. And we're
uranium production.
Well, exactly. So you can say that for this very strategic metal that is very much important to at least a fifth of our current electricity grid, we're more dependent on foreign sources of the fuel needed for this than we are on oil. I mean, we have a 65% dependency on foreign oil. We have a 90 to 95% dependency on foreign uranium, that's coming from these dismantled Russian nuclear warheads or from uranium mined in Kazakhstan.
And we're producing 20% of our electricity from uranium, from nuclear power.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Well, Amir, I want to ask you, again, there's one more question that comes to mind with respect to the immediate prospects for uranium. We see that President Obama is meeting with Russia, and apparently they're hammering out some sort of an agreement to reduce the nuclear warheads. Is there a threat of having a large supply of uranium come onto the markets, suppress the price of uranium, and thereby make your business less profitable?
Absolutely not. The number of nuclear warheads and the quantity of uranium available that are, let's say, military inventories of uranium, Jay, were always a finite quantity, and they're a source of supply that's getting smaller every year because we're not replenishing it.
Mm-hmm.
So to give you an example, when the Cold War ended, and then subsequently in 1994, the U.S. signed the HEU agreement with Russia, which was to dismantle Russian nuclear warheads. Since that time to now, roughly 20,000 missiles or warheads have been dismantled. The latest announcements are calling for the dismantling of roughly maybe another 700 missiles. Okay, so it's roughly 3% or 4% of what has been dismantled since 1994. It's peanuts. It's a very small number. What it is, though, is that it's a political gesture. The power, you know, the U.S. and Russia must send a signal today to countries like Iran and North Korea. That's a signal about non-proliferation. It's a signal, it's a political gesture and sign of how even the superpowers are reducing the number of warheads that they have for military purposes, and that it's unacceptable for any other country pursuing nuclear to be pursuing it for weapons or military activities, and that it should only be a source of electricity generation. So when you look at the military inventories of uranium, you must remember that this was basically like a large mine. And just like any mine, once you consume from that mine for a very long period of time, eventually you hit a decline curve, and eventually your resources and reserves get smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's happening and has happened and will happen to the military inventories of uranium. They'll be there. They'll be dismantled Russian and American warhead, but they're not going to be an answer to a growing demand for uranium. And the only way to meet this imbalance is to mine more uranium. We can't just keep relying on dismantling more warheads.
Okay, so that's what you're planning to do. You're moving forward. And how soon do you expect to be in production in Texas, and how much will you produce, Amir?
Jay, what makes Uranium Energy Corp extremely unique today, I mean, there's really no other company like us out there today, is that we're the only development stage uranium company in the U.S. or in the world that is fully permitted for production. So that's the key thing. The second key thing is that in order to be able to actually mine uranium, you must control a very critical element of the production, which is the processing plant. The function of the whole mining process that allows you to recover the final product, uranium oxide. We control and own a fully licensed and constructed processing plant in Texas. This is the Hobson plant.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hobson plant has an installed processing capacity of 2.5 million pounds of uranium a year. We're not going to run up to that full capacity immediately, but you can see that it's very exciting to be in the position where that we are right now, where the installed capacity of our processing plant can easily more than double the existing production in the U.S. once we get to that full installed processing capacity. But our immediate game plan and goal, and just to refresh or to point out to your listeners that we are focused on a method of mining uranium referred to as in-situ recovery, or ISR, which is a very low-cost and environmentally friendly way of mining uranium. It's an alternative to open pit or conventional mining. It's basically solution mining. We're utilizing charged oxidized solution. We dissolve uranium in ground, recover it in solution, and that's how we separate uranium from solution, which is what our processing plant does. Again, because this method is extremely low-cost and cost-competitive, we're able to, that coupled with the fact that we have our permits, we're looking to move towards initial production sometime in late 2010. We're currently have these developments underway, and we project that over the next 12 to 18 months, we can achieve an initial production rate of 1 million pound per year, which, again, is only 50% or less than 50% of our installed processing capacity. So you can see that even at the initial rate, we would be able to bring a very meaningful amount of new production online. With ISR mining, we're looking at production cost in the range of $15 per pound. And again, this is a very important benefit because most conventional projects are going to be, this is on average, new conventional projects are going to be requiring cost or having cost of $30 to $40 per pound.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see ISR mining is very much on the low end of the cost curve.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a position today where we have the plant, we have the permits, we have the resource, we have the favorable regime in terms of the state policy of Texas. And I think we very well will be the next new uranium producer in America, if not in the world.
Okay. Amir, I understand that you've got sort of satellite deposits then that will feed your milling capacity, is that right?
And correct,
milling capacity,
exactly.
2 million pounds or so a year?
As we ramp up and we develop additional satellite deposits, that's how the growth comes. And that's why we have this regional operating strategy, Jay, where you've got a central processing plant at Hobson, which is permitted, built, ready to go. And then what we utilize is we utilize this very long South Texas uranium belt. It's 400 miles long, Jay. And you can develop uranium deposits throughout this belt, develop them into a facility where you're recovering uranium in solution, and then you simply truck it up to your central processing plant. This is how uranium mining with ISR technology is currently being done in Wyoming by Cameco. It's how it's been done for decades in the U.S. and abroad. So it's a very proven method what we're doing. It's not some type of, you know, science project invented yesterday. It's got a 25 to 30-year track record. But the biggest thing is economy of scale, where you've got basically a central hub and then various deposits throughout this very long and prolific uranium belt that you can develop and feed into the central plant. So initially we'll have the first satellite deposit up and running. The goal is next year to have our second satellite project up and running. And that's how the incremental growth in the production profile is going to come, is from the ongoing development of various satellite deposits throughout the South Texas uranium belt feeding into are currently permitted and built processing plants.
Okay, Amir, you mentioned that your cost you expect to be around $15 a pound. Could you give our listeners some sort of sense of what is the uranium price today? What do you expect it to be? What do you think you're going to get for the sale of your U308 product?
Uranium prices are basically published or quoted in two different so-called markets, you can say. One is the spot market, which is currently at $41 per pound, and the other one is the term market, which is currently in the $58 to $60 per pound. So I think if you take an average of the two, you can say that a $50 sell price would be sort of your reasonable in middle of the ground price point for based on today's spot and term prices. So at $50 per pound, I mean, you know, you can do the math quickly. Is, you know, with a million pound produce, you're looking at potentially $50 million in revenue, and that's what the financial picture would look like. Now, again, you have to keep in mind, Jay, that uranium prices have been very stubborn over the last year. Uranium prices year over year have not budged at all. Mm-hmm. And so even though every other commodity since March of 2009, which you can say from March 2009 onwards, we've had a global recovery in equities and in all basically all commodities, uranium has not participated in the global recovery of prices in commodities and the related equities. Uranium has basically been flat since we've seen the rebound in the markets from the, you know, the trough and from the lows that were brought upon by the financial crisis. So this is a very important element of this whole picture to take note of. Is that
Amir, could you, we're just running out of time here, could you give me some sense of how, what sort of multiple do producing uranium mining companies trade at? So the listeners can do the math and figure out what kind of cash flow per share you might be looking at. What sort of multiples are major uranium producers selling at? What sort of multiples to cash?
In terms of earning multiples, on average the producers are trading right now at around 20 times earnings. In terms of price to net asset value, on average, the producers are trading at a premium to net asset value, 1.3 to 1.4 times price to net asset value. We're trading today at a 30% discount to our average net asset value. We're covered by six analysts, so these are all numbers that the street has on us, not numbers that I'm providing.
Very good. Amir, I have to ask you one last thing, which I always like to ask the people that come on this show, the CEOs of companies. What do you think could go wrong with your plans? You've given us a real positive outlook here, but is there anything that you can see that could derail your optimism?
Well, Jay, from this point on, we're an execution story. We're in control of our own destiny because we have the permits, we have the cash, we have the plan. So it's an execution story. And it's about the operating people that are out there executing our story and our business plan. And the entire technical team of our company was responsible for having permitted, designed, and built the last ISR uranium mine that started production in the U.S., which happened to be in South Texas, and was started production in late 2005. And that project is successfully mining a million pounds of uranium per year right now. We're implementing the exact same type of operation with what we're doing in Texas. And so the depth of our technical team not only has decades and combined hundreds of years of uranium experience, but it's very relevant experience. We have people that built the last uranium mine that's successfully mining uranium in the U.S. for the last 5 years. And they're now driving the execution strategy of UEC. And so I think you can say that this is as de-risked as a company can get. It is execution for us from this point on. And I think we have the best team out there that understands ISR. We're Corpus Christi based. And so the team has lived and worked down there, each person for 25 to 35 years each. And I think it's going to work out well.
Well, I think that's very good, Amir. You've answered another question I didn't have time to get to, essentially, and that was your management team. You obviously have a very experienced management team in this industry, and that, folks, is always the most important thing. Amir, I want to thank you for for sharing your information on Uranium Energy. It is a very exciting story. It is a company that I recommend in my newsletter. I look forward to following your progress in the future. We'll probably certainly want to have you on again sometime in the not-too-distant future. Well, folks, we do have to go to break now. Don't go away because we're going to have one of the best-known names in the energy industry, namely Matt Simmons, coming on to talk to us about peak oil. Don't go away. I'll be right back with Matt Simmons.
Want to know more about how you can turn financial losses from the most devastating stock market and economic decline since the 1930s into wealth and prosperity? A successful strategy for dealing with adversity requires a proper diagnosis of the problem so that effective remedies can be prescribed. By applying rarely taught Austrian economic theory to policies implemented by our policymakers, Jay Taylor has been able to nearly double the value of his model portfolio since 2000, while the stock market has lost nearly half its value in the worst bear market in decades. At MiningStocks.com, Jay and his associates provide a framework for turning the pains of the current bear market and recession into investment gains. Jay is a frequent radio and TV guest and speaker at investment conferences, where he shares his highly profitable Austrian economic insights at a time when most people are seeing their 401ks become 201ks or worse. He is available to share his rare profit-making insights via radio, TV, and public speaking engagements. To profit from Jay's insights, call 718-457-1426 or visit MiningStocks.com to subscribe to his profitable newsletters.
I am your host, Jay Taylor. I believe Columbus Silver Corp. traded Toronto symbol CSC and in the United States symbol CSLVF offers a potential gain of several fold over its March 31st price of 18 cents. I say that because of its low market cap, its moji on gold and silver property hosting a partly delineated deposit containing 18 million ounces of silver and 300,000 ounces of gold equivalent. I say that also because of a strong management team. The stock is, of course, not without risk, but in my view, the risk-reward ratio is presently very favorable. Go to ColumbusSilver.com to learn more.
Apollo Gold is a gold-producing and exploration company that recently brought the brand-new Black Fox Mine into production. Apollo's 100% owned Black Fox Mine is located in the world-renowned gold-producing district of Timmins, Ontario, Canada. It's expected to produce over 100,000 ounces of gold annually. Apollo Gold also has tremendous potential for additional gold discovery as they continue their current exploration program on their recent new discovery at the Grey Fox property, which is adjacent to the Black Fox Mine, as well as its new land acquisition of Pike River. With gold prices near an all-time high, investors should consider Apollo Gold as an outstanding opportunity to invest in an undervalued junior gold mining company, well-positioned to take advantage of a bull gold market. Apollo Gold trades on the New York Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol AGT and on the Toronto Stock Exchange under the ticker symbol APG. Visit Apollo's website at www.apollogold.com. Apollo Gold, a golden opportunity for investment.
Merex Gold, with 800 square kilometers of contiguous permits. Merex and exploration partner IM Gold have spent $11 million on the advanced stage Surabaya Gold Project in Mali. Merex's indicated gold resource is based on 4% of the mineralized Surabaya megastructure. An aggressive 20,000 meters of drilling will begin to determine the true size of the Surabaya gold deposit. For more information about Merex Gold, visit us on the web at www.merexgold.com. That's M-E-R-R-E-X Gold.com.